issue was one that has sparked a lot of interest throughout the world, and many people are very unhappy about what had transpired.
Chilkat Valley voters have a lot to decide in October. Skagway voters, not so much. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. The candidate list for elective offices in Skagway is a short one. The list, finalized at 5 p.m. Monday, shows four candidates running unopposed for their desired seats and one seat with nobody running. Borough Clerk Emily Deitch announced Monday the residents who have declared candidacy for the upcoming elections in October.
We have for mayor, Stan Selmer has filed his declaration.
Selmer is a former mayor, a retired regional manager at Alaska Power and Telephone, and currently serves on the Personnel Policy Committee. The current mayor, Tom Cochran, has said he does not plan to run again.
For the assembly, we've got Dan Henry and Mark Schaefer.
Both Henry and Schaefer are incumbent assembly members. Henry is chair of the Finance Committee and is on the Civic Affairs Committee and Public Safety Committee. Schaefer was most recently appointed to the seat vacated by Colette Hisman. He's the chair of the Health, Education, and Welfare Committee and is on the Civic Affairs Committee and Finance Committee.
And for school board, we have Andy Miller.
Miller has children in the Skagway school system and is currently on the Convention and Visitors Bureau board. Although the deadline is passed to declare candidacy in time to appear on the October ballot, it is not too late for residents to become write-in candidates.
Well, a write-in candidate, they would have the same qualifications as any other candidate who's filing a declaration. So they need to be qualified to vote in Skagway, and that's basically it.
Deitch explains that the process to run as a write-in candidate is very similar to the one the declared candidates face.
They can file as a write-in candidate, and the way that that happens is they have until the Friday prior to the election. So because the election's on October 4th, the deadline to receive a letter of intent would be September 30th. That's Friday, September 30th at 5. And what they would need to do is submit a letter of intent to the municipality.
That list of requirements that goes with the letter of intent is available at City Hall and online under Municipal Code. It includes relatively basic information as well as financial information relative to the Alaska Public Offices Commission. Descriptions of duties and powers of mayor, assembly member, and school board member are also at the Skagway Borough offices and online. It looks like Haines voters will have to decide on five assembly seats this October and not just the three that are up for election. An effort to recall assembly members Damon Hoffman and Joanne Waterman made it through the latest hoop Friday when Haines Recall Committee submitted petitions filled with more than 600 signatures gathered collectively around Haines in less than a month.
Yes, we got more than we need and more than it's going to put us over the top, of course.
The group, led by Haines' Jim Shook, needed 275 signatures for each assembly member by 5 p.m. on Friday, August 12th. They got all of the required paperwork in just in time.
I was pretty confident that we would get all the signatures we need by the 12th of the month, which would guarantee the issue would be on the ballot because of two things. One, the wonderful volunteers that helped me make this such a success, and the issue. And the issue was one that has sparked a lot of interest throughout the borough. And many people are very unhappy about what had transpired.
The applications for recall of Assembly Members Waterman and Hoffman alleged that these members failed to perform a required duty to fill an assembly seat that was vacated by court order within 30 days, as the borough code states. They were two of the members who voted to leave the seat open, saying they would rather leave that decision up to the voters. Other members who voted the same way would not be eligible for a recall because they're within 180 days of the end of their terms. The group would have normally had 60 days to gather signatures, but were under a tighter deadline with the goal of setting the questions to the voters in early October.
A lot of the people contacted their neighbors. Some went door to door. Some of us sat at the two grocery stores, down at the harbor, down at the convenience store. we sat where the populace was funneled, you know, by common sense, the grocery stores and the harbor and so forth.
Shook says he felt supported in his efforts, and at one point, one tourist brought him three copies of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution when he saw what they were doing.
I'll tell you, it was, for me, quite uplifting, because on cruise ship day, the people would come off the ship and applaud our involvement in our local government. And just short of singing the national anthem, I think it's a time now when we're all paying more attention to our government and realizing how important it is that we have trust in our elected officials.
But the petitions were eyesores for many who have expressed disgust with the recall attempt, calling it disrupting and misleading. Haines resident, lawyer, and former borough assembly member Deborah Vogt did not sign either of the petitions.
I think there's an issue whether the recall effort is even legal, because our charter, which is our Haines' constitution, says that the assembly shall attempt to appoint if there's a vacancy. The code, of course, says the assembly shall appoint, but the charter takes precedence over the code, and I think that the issue deserved a lot more attention than it got from the borough before they certified the petitions for recall. I'm disappointed that we're going to go forward with something as disruptive to the community as this is likely to be on such meager analysis.
Shook says people with opposing views were also among those who passed by the petition table.
On occasion, and very rarely, like maybe once in a day of sitting for 4 or 5 hours downtown, someone would say, "Don't you have something better to do?" or something similar to that. In other words, no real debate. No one was willing or able or whatever to stand there and debate the facts. They were just either very much in favor of it, neutral, or very much against it.
The borough clerk is facing the next step in the process, validating each and every signature for authenticity. With that certification, which would be out in about 10 days, the borough will turn to preparing the questions for the special election ballot, scheduled to run concurrently with a regular election on October 4th. A Sea Alaska plastics factory is producing a fast-selling filtered water bottle. It's part of a partnership between the Juneau-based Regional Native Corporation and the manufacturing giant Clorox. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
An awful lot of people get their bottled water this way. And when they're done, it goes here. A subsidiary of the Sea Alaska Corporation wants to make this the sound of bottled water. And when it's empty, you just fill it up again. The subsidiary, Canuck Corporation, is a partner in a plastics plant in Guadalajara, Mexico. The plant is producing the Brita bottle, a portable version of the popular Brita water pitchers. Both use a charcoal filter to remove chlorine from tap water, making it taste, well, like bottled water. The product was introduced earlier this year, and sales have boomed.
No sooner had we launched than we discovered that the demand was far greater than what we had expected.
Ed Rivera is director of sales and marketing for NIPRO Canuck. That's the partnership of Sea Alaska's subsidiary and NIPRO Incorporated, a global plastics manufacturer. The enterprise operates plants in Iowa and Alabama, as well as the bottle factory in Mexico.
We immediately proceeded to build duplicate toolings with much greater capacity. And even with that capacity, our manufacturer has been taxed because of the great demand for the product, who has done far better than at least our imaginations or our predictions at the genesis of the program.
He would not reveal sales numbers, but he says the Brita bottle has captured 70% of the market. Competitors include Culligan and Nalgene. Brita is part of Clorox. Company sourcing manager Kate Barkaloo says working with a Sea Alaska subsidiary is part of a larger strategy to change the way Clorox does some of its business. That includes contracting with diversity suppliers. Sea Alaska owns 51% of NIPRO Canuck, making it a minority business enterprise that fits the bill.
We realize that by working with smaller companies or growing companies or disadvantaged companies, we can make those small differences. We can make those big differences by small changes.
Brita promotes its water filtering products, including bottles, pitchers, and sink attachments, as environmentally friendly. The charcoal filters, which do not remove bacteria or toxins, need replacing about every 2 months, but they can be recycled. The company has a website where consumers pledge to reduce bottled water waste and receive product discounts in return. Tad Kittredge is Brita's brand manager.
And it's something we started back in 2007 with our Filter for Good program, helping to reduce bottled water waste in the world. And we've seen tremendous amount of consumers respond to that and start making changes in their life by switching away from bottled water.
Nipro Canuck has also produced products for Dell, Kraft, and Procter & Gamble. Sales and Marketing Director Ed Rivera says it actively pursues large corporate clients.
Particularly in our Guadalajara plant, we do a lot of assembly. And a lot of people go down there to avail themselves of the low-cost labor structure.
Mexico also has weaker environmental regulations. Sea Alaska had an earlier plastics business called TriQuest. It lost money and ended up closing its plant in Vancouver, Washington. What remained joined with Nipro to become the Canuck part of Nipro Canuck. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bickford.